first time, but it is good to be able to come and testify of what the Lord has done in my life. And when I give my testimony, I often like to begin with the words of John Newton. And John Newton said this: I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. I believe those words sum up every single one of us as a Christian. As I stand here, I can say I am not what I ought to be. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I'm not what I want to be. I want to be closer walking with my God. I want to be more and more like my Saviour. As I stand here and give my testimony, I can also say that I am what I am by the grace of God. As I stand here as a Christian, it's not because of anything that I have done. I'm not here to testify of me, but I'm here to testify of what my God has done for me. It is only by grace that any of us can be saved, and that is that grace that I testify of tonight. From a child, I knew my need of a Saviour. I was brought up in a Church of Ireland background, but my mother, she sent me along to every children's meeting that was going around the country, and I came to know my need of a Saviour from a very early age. And I made a profession of faith when I was very young. I don't remember the exact date. I don't remember what exact age I was, but I remember coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. And when I look back on those years, I can see that very little progress was made. I can see that I didn't go on with the Lord as I should have, and this lack of service that went on into my teenage years. And then, as I say, through all those years, even through my time in high school, those early years, I have to say I had no assurance of salvation. I'd have found myself, it would have nearly been every night, there wouldn't have gone a night that I wouldn't have said, Lord, am I really saved? And Lord, if I'm not saved, would you please save me? And this would be what I would say over and over again every night. I'd come and seek the Lord for salvation, and I gone through the high school. I'll skip all the high school years, but it was years that I didn't enjoy. I'm sure there's many here who would agree with me. School is not a very nice place. You don't like it. I have to say, it went further than that. I have to say, I really hated the place. Couldn't wait to leave the place. And I got out of that place after completing my GCSEs. I then went into an electrical apprenticeship, trained to be a maintenance electrician. And during those years, after leaving school, I met Rhonda, who is now my wife. And she attended Keish Free Presbyterian Church along with her family. And Rhonda, I have to say, has been a great blessing in my life. She supported me these years through the college. It's, you know, the students often get up and they talk about how hard it is for them through the years in college. And really, I believe it's much harder for the families than it is for us. And I have to commend Rhonda for how she has been such a support over those years. And talking to our brother earlier, we're talking about how she brought me into the Free Presbyterian Church, how it's usually the other way the men take the women out of it, but it worked the other way. She brought me into the Free Presbyterian Church. At that time, I'd been attending a Baptist church, and a good, sound teaching church that it was, but Rhonda, being that good Free Presbyterian, she had me attending as many services in different Free Presbyterian churches as she could, just getting me exposed to Free Presbyterianism. I have to say, when I was growing up, we were sort of taught the Free Presbyterians, avoid them. They're a strange lot, have nothing to do with them. It's really as if it was nearly a cult, and that was nearly the way we were brought up. You'd pass the local Free Presbyterian Church, and it was derogatively known as Paisley's Church, and that's all we were grown up knowing the Free Presbyterian Church was. So it was a new experience to me, and one of those services that Rhonda brought me along to was the Lochearn Convention, held every year there in our Bethel congregation, our church there in Enniskillen. And that year it was the Dr. Alan Kearns that was speaking, and I remember that night as I sat there, I could take you to the pew, could take you to the very spot that I was sitting, and it was as if Dr. Kearns, or even to go further, as if the Lord was speaking directly to me. See, that night Dr. Alan Kearns was speaking on bearing fruit, and how if we are saved we should be producing fruit in our lives. And he challenged us to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we bearing the fruit that we ought to bear? As I sat there, I say, under conviction, knowing the Lord was speaking to me, I had to confess I hadn't bore any fruit. I hadn't been bearing the fruit that I should have been bearing. See, I look back in those childhood years and that profession that I made, and I have to confess, I confess that that profession I was made was simply, I didn't want to go to hell. I believe that's what it was. I didn't want to go to hell, and I believe saying a prayer and asking forgiveness, that was my get out of hell free card. I've said a prayer, I've saved, now I longer go to hell, and that's what it's all about. May you realize tonight salvation is not simply about avoiding damnation. Salvation is about a life of obedience and service to God. We have to, the Lord must be not just our Savior, but He must be our Lord. And I have to confess that I feel that I had missed that. And I realized that night that I needed to give my life afresh to the Lord. And I got home, got down on my knees, not ashamed to say it, the tears running from my face, I asked the Lord to save me and to forgive me. And as I say, back in my childhood years, I had no assurance of salvation. But I can say, hand on heart tonight, that from that night, I have never doubted my salvation. I have the assurance knowing that I am saved, not because of my prayer, not because of anything I said. My faith is in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. I am saved because Christ shed His blood to save me from my sins. I went on a few more years working as an electrician, done my apprenticeship, and I thought I'd give education another go. The one who hated education thought, you know what, this electrical stuff, it's not too bad. And I started doing a part-time course, a HNC in electrical engineering, and I got to like it. So I thought I'd give up the work and I'd give full-time education another go. So packed in my job, went to, it was Biffy, Belfast Met, as it's called now, there in Belfast, and I began doing the HND, done 2 years there, and then progressed into university, done 2 years in Queen's University, and gained my degree in electrical engineering. And during those final terms of university, I began asking the Lord, what is it you would have me to do? See, during those times, and during those years of coming into contact with the Free Presbyterian Church, again, my wife introduced me to the Westminster Confession of Faith, something I knew nothing of, and even the little shorter catechism, particularly that little shorter catechism. Many, I'm sure, have been taught that as a child. You've learned those questions, and maybe you think this is an awful thing to have to do. It's an awful pain to have to learn these questions. But I would tell you, you're blessed. See, I was brought up not having such things, and truly the shorter catechism is a great blessing. It's such a great summary of the Christian faith. And I would urge you, not young and old, even the older ones, the men sitting here and the women, learn that book. Learn those little questions. The great truth that they contain. And the Lord really, He spoke to me through that little confession. Even the first question, what is man's chief end? What is man's chief end? It's man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Here's me, and towards the end of my degree, and I was reading this, and it taught me that man's chief end was to glorify God. And I was thinking, how could I glorify God? Here I am, completing an electrical engineering degree. How could an electrical engineer glorify God? How could I use my talents to glorify Him? The Lord challenged me through this question and through that scripture proof that goes with it in 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not what we must do. Whatever field we're in life, it's not just the minister and the missionary, but every one of us, young and old, we must do all to the glory of God. I believe the Lord has challenged me to do more for Him, but I didn't know what. I left it with the Lord, and then approaching my final weeks of my degree, seen an advert in what was then the Truth for Youth magazine, or looking for a science and technology teacher in Clocker Valley Independent Christian School. And straight away I seen there was a place where I could use the talents that God had given me in my education in university to glorify Him. Applied for that job and, cut the long story short, got that, was accepted, took that job, and for 4 years I laboured there in that school. And I have to confess, during those years I thought I was there, this is where for life. I thought, this is what the Lord has for me to do. I was happy there. It was a place of great blessing in my life, being surrounded by other Christians, having that support of one of another. But the Lord began to speak to me of another step He wanted me to take. The Lord spoke to me through the death of two men. One was a very young man, and the other was a rather much older man. I used to play a bit of cricket for Clocker Cricket Club, and on the last game of our season, a rearranged fixture, the end of August, we were at a cricket ground, and the Clocker Club was Orange Cricket Club. They're coming to our ground, as one of the cars turned across the road to enter the club, it was hit by an oncoming vehicle. The young man of 26 years of age, sitting in the passenger seat of that car, was ushered into eternity. And as I sat there, this scene around us, I began to think, what if that had been me? What if that had been me? A young man, not much younger than me at the time,
I thought, what if that had been me? If I had been called home, what could I have said I had done for the Lord in the hours, the days and the years that he had given me? I was challenged by it, convicted by it, that I hadn't. Again, I still wasn't doing enough for my Lord. It's failing my God. And then the following Monday, the teacher started back into school. We had just the staff in, and Mr. Wilson, now one of the students in the college, he was then the principal of the school. He began with devotions that morning from Psalm 90. And he read to us the words of verse 12. And here we have the prayer of Moses. And he says there, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." See, these words were fitting to the last word to how I was feeling at that time. I was thinking, how had I numbered my days? How had I been numbering my days? We don't know what a day may bring forth. I thought, what if that had been me? And this verse, it fitted so applicably with what I was feeling at that time. I asked the Lord to teach me to number my days, that I would apply my heart unto wisdom. I wonder, as you sit here today, are you numbering your days? Or maybe you think, I've got all my life ahead of me. But none of us know what a day may bring forth. That young man is coming down to our club to enjoy a game of cricket, and little did he know that day he would be ushered into eternity. The Lord really spoke to me through that, but then there was the death of another man sometime later. I knew the Lord was leading me, but still didn't know where. And so then there was the death of another man, the death of my sister's father-in-law. And his name is Willie Honeyman, a man that many of the gentlemen know here. Willie Honeyman was a man who spent much time going around this country evangelizing. He was an unconventional man. He was a man that you might raise the odd eyebrow about, but he was a man who faithfully served the Lord. When I went to school that morning and heard of that man's death, it was words of 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, which I'd only read a few days earlier, came ringing in my ears. And there we have Paul speaking to the young Timothy, and he says, "Do the work of an evangelist." So there was a command that I believe Willie Honeyman followed. He did the work of evangelist. Yes, he was unconventional, but he faithfully listened to that command. I believe the Lord, again speaking to me, I said, "Look, here's a man going out of the service. What about me? Am I willing to fill the gap? Am I willing to go forth and serve the Lord?" And I knew the Lord was definitely guiding me, but I didn't know where. I left it with the Lord. I was, I suppose, at that time, frantically flicking through the Bible, looking for the verse, looking for that verse which would show you the direction where I would to go. See, I had to leave it with the Lord. And I left it with the Lord, and then when I was least expecting it, the Lord spoke to me through the words of 2 Timothy 2:15, words which are the motto text of the Whitfield College. I didn't know that at the time, but those words tell us to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It was the Lord was telling me, "Oh, you want to know what you're going to do 3-4 years down the line?" The Lord told me simply, "The first thing you must do is study. Study to show myself approved unto God." It was clear to me that that's what the Lord would have me to do. As I stand here today, now finished college, taking that next step, see, it was the Lord that has led all the way. It's the Lord who has saved me. It's the Lord that has led and guided me. You see, over those years, I left the school hating education. Never thought that I would be one day standing, graduating from a university degree. You see, but the Lord led me to take that step, that I'd be able to take the next step, and that was into teaching. Not step into teaching was be able to equip me to take the next step. You see, before I started teaching in school, I couldn't stood and spoke to anybody, and maybe you can say you still can't do that. But I couldn't. I couldn't even thought of standing in front of anybody and saying anything. I could never have done it. But you see, the Lord used those 4 years, my time in school, to equip me to be able to take that step. I stand here today because the Lord has led me all the way. We're told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "To trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I can say the Lord has been faithful to those words. The Lord has directed my paths. I ask you tonight, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Are you leaning on him? Are you trusting in him to guide you? If I tell you, the Lord will lead, the Lord will guide, and the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord even take these words of testimony, as feeble as they are, and may the Lord take them and bless them to each and every heart.